Wow, that was good. Thank you. I think they'd enjoy that maybe more than we did. That was great. Thank you very much. I am humbled to be here today. Some of you have said, you look familiar. Well, part of the answer for that is I just have one of those faces. I have been told that my entire life, and I'm afraid I'm going to be accused of things where I never showed up and were told that I was there. The truth is, Jane and I have been in Brandon since 1980. We moved back to Mississippi, and I went to work for the Mississippi Baptist Convention Board, retired about 18 months ago from there after 35 years as an education consultant. And then for the last 20 years, I did the retirement planning insurance coordination with the staff members of our churches throughout Mississippi. We have 2,100 congregations. You're far larger than the typical church on Sunday morning that is affiliated with Mississippi Baptist and Southern Baptist. Typically, we run about 50 folks in an average church. That means you're above average for sure. Cross Gates is well above average, and my wife has just retired from there as in preschool ministry. She was there for 18 years. So our membership is there, and our Sunday school class is there. I have a wonderful group of folks that pray for me, and I pray for them, because oftentimes on Sunday morning, I go to Sunday school, and then I go somewhere else to worship, has been my case this morning, at least. If you have your Bibles, turn with me two passages. I want you to put your finger in Isaiah chapter 12. Then, if you will turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3. You remember the story of Isaiah in chapter 6, how the Lord has come to him in the temple. And then in Isaiah chapter 12, after the Lord has asked him to start preaching, because Israel needs a prophet and preacher, beginning in verse 2, Isaiah writes, "Behold, God is my salvation. And I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.'" Amen. And then Paul, in the book of Philippians, gets our attention again in well-known verses, when in chapter 3, I really don't want to read all of these, chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, but look at verse 7 with me for a moment. "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Then move down to verse 12. "Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on to that which I lay hold, for that which also I lay hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, yet one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray just for a moment. Father, we have come to worship, and we thank you that we have worshiped. We owe you honor and respect and reverence. We thank you for taking the initiative to love us and to want the very best for us in every situation and circumstance. So as we come now to open your word, allow us to see you at work in us, not just today, but in the days and the years to come. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Most of us do not welcome interruptions. This past week, I was working on a little project in the garage. Repeatedly, my wife came out and interrupted me, and I had to stop where I was and pay attention and then go back to my task, sometimes starting over again. And after about the second, third time, I became a little bit frustrated within. But what she was doing was important. Any wonder then that we do not welcome interruptions? Beyond the interruptions of daily life, and we all have them, there are those momentous interruptions that can change the course of life. Such interruptions are greeted as welcomed. A woman had planned to complete her career with a particular company, and then she's laid off. A man thought he would be married and longed to be married and still finds himself single at 40 years of age. Or a couple who wanted children but could not conceive even into their 40s. A couple that really welcomed retirement. Planned trips all around the world, but that was before his precarious illness. You and I plan to be with loved ones for a long time, but death, the great interrupter, frequently crumbles our plans like a piece of paper and throws them at our feet. Any wonder then that we do not welcome interruptions? In fact, we steer clear of them if at all possible. So what we do is we plan our days with our agenda in mind and tell ourselves and everyone else, oh, everything's going to be fine. But when we stop and think about it just for a moment, there are times when we have been uncommonly blessed by an interruption. It's a wonderful surprise. Those do happen. It's probably happened more times than we realize. We just haven't stopped to count them. At least a number of times I can recall, and I'll give you one where my interest in this whole idea of interruptions began. It was over 30 years ago. I was a consultant, youth consultant in education for Mississippi Baptist. I was planning some statewide events. As my custom, I would leave the office. Before leaving the office on a particular afternoon, I would plan my next day. Sometimes I had my moments down to 15 and 30 minute increments of things that needed to be done. One morning I show up, I had my first cup of coffee. About 8 o'clock the phone starts ringing, and by 10 o'clock I have already answered 4 or 5 phone calls. By 10 o'clock I'm frustrated. I have not even gotten to my first item on the agenda. And I stand up to stretch. I recall this incident very well. And I said, probably louder than I realized, if it weren't for all these cotton-picking phone calls, I could get something done. Unbeknownst to me, I was louder than I realized. The gentleman next door in the office, and our offices were not paper-thin, but substantial building, Mississippi Baptist Convention Board is, had retired from almost 50 years of ministry. He really hadn't retired. He had left family ministry and a lobbyist, really, for Mississippi Baptist with our legislature. Revered. I love the man. They had talked him into continuing family ministry, and they placed him in the office next to me. I heard his soft, tender voice say, "Robin, would you mind stepping into my office?" I do so because of my respect. I love being around the gentleman, and he was that, and a scholar. And he said, "I couldn't help but overhear your comment. I know you have been busy this morning," but... And he paused, and he said, "Could it be that those interruptions were more important than what you had planned?" Man, I got hit right between the eyes. As you can tell, these words are somewhat confessional, but I have come to realize in my study and my interest in this sense that one of God's preferred modes of communication with me has been interrupting my schedule. Let me say that a different way. Interruptions are one of the ways that God gets our attention. Let me give you a phrase I learned a number of years ago, and I use it quite often because I need to hear it, but others do as well. God redeems everything that He allows. There's a lot of theology in that statement. And I think we need to ponder that from time to time. The word interrupt really is Latin. It comes from a phrase that means to break in between. It's usually our routine that's being broken up. It may be God's way of breaking into our moments, breaking into our harried, rushed schedule that we have made for ourselves. It may be God interrupting our expectations because they're not like His expectations. It may be God speaking to our atrophied imaginations because they've waned. Perhaps God is breaking into our lives, getting our attention. And He calls us to stop just long enough to catch a light, a glimpse of Him, a light for a new day. C.S. Lewis, and you may know that name, I hope you do. He's the author of the Chronicles of Narnia and a lot of other books. If you've not read Mere Christianity, I strongly recommend that. But a literary giant of England in another era, he died probably 15, 20 years ago, became a Christian in the middle age, but his experience with God has been repeated time and time again in the books of which he has written. And this is one of the things he said: great thing it is to stop regarding all of the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's real life. For the truth is, he writes, what we call interruptions are precisely one's real life. The life God is sending us one day at a time. Father Theodore Hesburgh, former president of Notre Dame University in Indiana, I think, was frustrated and wrote on one occasion how students continually coming into his office at the president's office, interrupting him, and it dawned on him one day, I'm the president. They are my agenda. Changed his attitude. John Lennon of the Beatles fame in the 60s wrote a song. Some of you may remember this. Some of you are not old enough, but life is what happens when you make another plans. I think that's true for a Christian. We gather to worship a God who has constantly interrupted human beings' lives from the beginning of time. Sometimes what we perceive to be a mere interruption is probably, not always, but probably God breaking in. What happens is God's way of breaking in while we're making other plans. But let me remind you, God redeems all that He allows. The Bible's filled with illustrations of people whose lives were interrupted, following their own agendas and discovering that God was nearer than they realized. Moses peacefully tending his flock. I don't need to tell you that whole story, but after he sees a burning bush, it gets his attention and he realizes God has another agenda for his life than herding sheep in the mountains. Moses finally relented. Jonah was asked by God to go to Nineveh. They needed a preacher. It was a God-forsaken city. But that was not a part of Jonah's plans. He books a cruise on a ship going the opposite direction. That voyage is interrupted. Jonah's plans are changed and he becomes a preacher. God's interruptions are not always welcomed, but he redeems that which he allows. Isaiah, obediently going about his priestly duties in the temple. And the temple is filled with smoke so thick that you can't see anything, and it's the presence of God he determines. And there an angel places a charcoal against his lips. I've thought about that several times. Have you? I'm not sure how many days it was before he could get his mind wrapped around that, much less say anything, because his lips have been seared. I don't even like fever blisters. And he finally says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Mary planned to be married, and an angel interrupted her to say that she was going to give birth to the Son of the Most High, even though she was a little more than a child herself. Joseph planned a traditional wedding until Mary tells her of the angel's visit, and obediently, pay attention to that, obediently he follows the angel's directions as well. Any wonder that God chose them? When you think about it, the shepherds outside the town saw an angel. Their lives were interrupted. They proclaimed the Messiah's birth. It's a story of God coming as a little one, being born in a forgotten place in the middle of nowhere. It's a story, in many ways, of the birth of the Son of God who interrupts our lives. If you're a believer, your life has been interrupted. When God doesn't keep his distance, but comes as close as muscle and bone and chooses to live within us, our lives are never the same again. And then we have the opportunity of taking on the life of Christ as we become obedient and follow him. After Jesus interrupts our lives, we need to pay attention to the future. Our cherished assumptions about the way the world is, our familiar routines, our best laid plans no longer work as well. God is good. Now, don't hear me saying that everything that happens to us is God's direction. He doesn't bring about all bad things. But hear that phrase again. God redeems all that he allows. We don't seek dramatic interruptions. But we do make our plans. We cling to our expectations. And when our plans are thwarted, quite often what we do is make new plans. Some of our plans that we develop don't turn out as we hoped. My interest in this concept of interruption has been for a number of years, and I've been interested in the number of other people who've thought about this, even preachers. I discovered Craig Barnes, one of our Southern Baptist pastors in Washington, D.C., wrote a sermon on this a number of years ago. But in that, he says that when we have disappointments, when we have our agendas interrupted, if we're not careful, we can become numb to life. That we almost go to sleep, so to speak, in following God. And he says one of the ways for us to live again is to discover a dream. He's not the first one to have said that. But I've discovered that dreams and interruptions are similar. So may I say you are experiencing an interruption as a congregation? Pay attention, because the Lord is speaking to you. You have something of a stranger preaching here this morning. That's how much interruption it is. But there are a lot of responsibilities that your church needs to see taken care of on a daily basis. I want you to think about that and try to fill in where you can. One of the ways for us to wake up is to dream again. So let me draw some parallels, if I may, between dreams and interruptions. By the way, let me start this section by dreaming by saying, and you've probably heard this, do you realize that thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ every day because of dreams? God is visiting them and giving them visions and dreams of Jesus Christ, and they're waking up and following the Lord Jesus Christ. That needs to be our prayer. That's the answer for ISIS. That's the answer for us and even our own nation. Ah, good. I'm glad I got an amen there. See, dreams and interruptions are things that angels bring us. We don't seek them. We don't see them coming. But they allow us to see our world differently and to see ourselves differently. Visions, dreams, interruptions. But they allow our imaginations to roam more freely than before. It's in our dreams. It's in those moments of interruptions that we can begin to catch a vision of the God who's always trying to break into our routine to get our attention, to break us free from the chains that have kept us from being what God knows we can be as individuals. He leads us into the future. He always has. So we make our plans for our families, for our work, for our retirement. There's nothing wrong with plans. God has given us a mind and imagination and ability to organize, to make plans. But I also recall verse from Jeremiah when he was preaching that said, God says to him and he says to the people of Israel, call to me, I'll answer you, and I'll tell you great and mighty things that you do not know. There lies our hope. So there's a danger for us to become enamored with our own plans and to lose the ability to dream or to even ask God. So these interruptions can be threats or they can be opportunities. So it's important for us to remember probably one of our favorite Christian dreams that you'll hear reverberated from pulpits all across the world, and that is God's dream for His people. He has sent us His Son, Jesus Christ, and He has said to us, there's your example. Live your life that way. So that as we begin to think through that which God is saying and has said, and we spend time in the Word reading it for ourselves, we begin to greet those interruptions with songs of praise and saying, yes, Lord, I needed that. The dream really, I think, begins with an angel saying to us, as he said to so many before, hey, don't be afraid. Life isn't what you planned, but it is so much more than you can imagine. So don't be afraid. It's God visiting you, and that's always a good thing. Spiritual development is a never-ending process in growth. Sometimes we resist change. I think the older we get, the more difficult it is for us to embrace change. But the opposite is the problem, because it can be death, spiritual death. You don't like to hear a physical therapist or a doctor say, I realize you've got some muscles there that you're not using. They're atrophying. What it means is those, you're not using your muscles, they're dying on you. That's not a good thing to hear at 60 years of age. And our spirits become the same way sometimes if we're not careful. So could it be for hundreds of times, maybe even thousands for some of us, God has changed your circumstances because He wants your attention? He wants to help you. He wants to change you, and that's a good thing. So the challenge for me, for us this morning, is to make a commitment to be like the Christ, not the self that we know. To surrender ourselves, to become students and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So during this interruption of your church life, are you behaving differently? It's important for us to take note, I think, individually. Are you praying for the church, praying for your pastor, for his family, for the staff? They need your help. Are you actively involved, trying to see, where can I volunteer? Now, ask for permission on some of these things, you know. Others, you don't need permission. Are you taking on responsibility that somebody now has because they also volunteered and they've got three or four of the things they're doing? There needs to be some shouldering of responsibilities. And my suggestion is for you to begin to dream what Grace Church can be and to do. And then you link arm in arm and you find yourself in that dream. It's precisely God's faithfulness in the past, which He calls us to trust Him in the days to come. And that's a daily commitment on our part. As the Apostle Paul wrote, and I read to you again as I did at the beginning, this one thing I do, I forget that which is behind, and I press or I strain forward to that which lies ahead. The call of God for the prize that's in Christ Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look in His wonderful face. Let's pray together. Father of love, we are created for Yourself. And without a doubt, our hearts are restless until we find rest in You. So grant us strength that no selfish passion hinders us from knowing Your will and Your way. Thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy in Christ Jesus. Thank You for interrupting us and for changing our minds and our spirits and allowing us to dream. So in those dreams, we discover our places of service and ministry. And we find dreams fulfilled. We pray in the name of Him who loves us, who teaches us, who calls us to service, Jesus the Christ. Amen.